The hatted kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public, if you will.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray.
I came to play.
Say goodbye to the tunnel of day. They're never coming back. Watch if you
pray. I came to
play. I came to play. Get my due pay.
It is me. It is the Culinary Jedi, known as Trash Talker Skywalker. I just gave myself that nickname. I am Chef Plum, and you are checking out live right now Plum Love Foods here on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM. You know all the places, and maybe you're listening to me not live on a Monday night. Maybe it's Tuesday morning. Maybe you're just now getting to work. Maybe you're setting your station up, getting ready for another long day, 12-hour day, 10-hour day, double. Who knows what you're doing, but nonetheless, you are checking out the number one food talk radio show on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Chef Plum, for the official introduction. I am, tonight, sitting down here, live, at the bar, in my basement, live right now. I just popped the top. I didn't pop the top on a cold one. I poured a cold one out of the tap because I got the tap back up and running down here in the basement tonight. It's going to be a fantastic show. I'm sitting down here. I got a candle lit. I got my Steelers light still shining bright here at the bar, even though we had a heartbreaking loss yesterday. But I am still feeling good, feeling fine, and very excited about tonight's episode. Guys, tonight, let me turn this music off. Tonight, we have a really, really cool episode tonight, man. I'm telling you what, this episode is one I've been looking forward to for a long time, and I'm glad we could finally make this happen. Tonight, we got Chef David coming on from Polyscience. You guys know what Polyscience is? I'm sure you know what Polyscience is if you're a chef. These dudes are the people who made sous vide a household term. You know, sous vide, where you vacuum seal your stuff, you set your temperature in the water, you pop it in, and it makes the most amazing food on the planet. Yeah, that's these guys. And he's coming on here tonight to break down everything that Polyscience has going on, break some knowledge on us, and get some explanation on some things. One of the things I want explanation on is the anti-griddle. What the fuck would you make that for? Who made that? Why'd they make that? Where'd it come from? How in the hell did you come up with it? And the uses are endless with a tool like that. Think a flat top grill that is like as cold as fucking you could possibly get. I think it's like -9 degrees or something. I'm sure Chef David can tell us all about that stuff. It's going to be a great episode, man. We're going to learn a little bit. And on tonight's episode, we are officially being brought to you by Science. Science is bringing you a food episode. Believe it or not, guys, I'm a firm believer in science. It has way more to do with food than art. In my humble opinion, I think food can be art. However, science is the first and foremost main thing when it comes to making great food. I'm sure a show regular and my good friend, big shout out to my man out in L.A., Chef Kyle Schutte, would completely disagree with me. However, currently he's not here, does not have a microphone, and I do. And so therefore I'm the expert. I'll be the one that's correct, not him. Was that a little harsh? I don't think that was too harsh. So tonight's episode is going to be a lot of fun. Chef David is going to be calling in here in a few minutes. We'll have a great conversation with him. I'm really looking forward to it because that dude, we talked on the phone briefly. He's a good dude, a really nice guy. And, man, anytime you get somebody who knows as much about food as these guys do, it's got to be an awesome conversation. So what's going on, everybody? Happy Monday after Thanksgiving. Hope your holiday was awesome. Mine was fantastic. Did a lot of catering work. You know how it goes. We did the stuff here at the house for the family, and then went on the Saturday to do a big catering job. It was a great weekend, man. We had a lot of fun. We had another catering scheduled for Sunday. It was going to be a great catering. They were going to be out in a barn, and we had to carry the food out. It was going to be a really cool catering job, but they canceled. Yeah. They canceled the day before, which is my own fault, lesson learned, and I want to spread this knowledge to everyone out there. If you're a caterer, a private chef, or someone who cooks freelance, take a deposit. Trust me, take a deposit. Don't be a jobber like me who doesn't take a deposit and then ends up kind of up the creek after you've already gotten everything set in stone to have people, work the catering, have all your just have everything taken care of, and then have them cancel the event. Not cool, man. Not cool at all. So, what's some of the ways you guys made turkey? Let me tell you how I made mine. I'm not trying to be the hack. Let's talk about turkey. But, you know, it's one of the biggest holidays of the year. It's one of my favorite holidays of the year. So I like to talk about how I do turkey. I take pride in it. I brine my turkey in sweet tea. Now, I said this last week in the episode last week with Stephanie Abrams, and what a great episode that was, and the response to it's been amazing. excuse me. She's a fantastic person to talk to. Hopefully, maybe we can get her back on again soon. I don't, maybe I should go and be on the Weather Channel. I'm really kind of flying. I'm going all over the place. This is a ADD episode. So I brine my turkey in sweet tea. Let me tell you something, you guys. I brined mine for about 9.5 hours, and when that sumbitch came out, it was like eating butter. Holy cow. Unbelievable. We packed it full of a little bit of butter, some herbs. I had my daughters help me out with it. It was just fantastic. Real quick, hang on, you're taking me a big swig of this cold one. I think I hit the mute button there. Sorry. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Here's to everybody out there. What a long day I've had. Another long day tomorrow. I did some fun this afternoon. I am going to be on the Like, Bite, and Share podcast with our good friend and regular, the Rev Ciancio. The Burger General himself. He was just on Cooking Channel, I think a week and a half ago or something like that. Awesome guy. Invited me to be on their show. It's a really educational show for anybody who's that entrepreneurial spirit, entrepreneurial mind, what they're doing and talking about how to promote yourself and things like that. And my episode is going to be about promoting yourself via television because that's what I've done. I've done everything I can to make that be how I promote myself, and in his episode, and that episode is going to be a lot of fun. I think it's coming out in a week and a half. We'll tweet it out there when it comes out. Love talking to my man Rev, and meeting his buddy Brad from Burger Weekly, another great dude. Great conversation with those guys. Looking forward to that coming out. Also, why am I plugging all this crap right now? That's not what I do. I'm supposed to be talking food and ranting. I don't know. Tomorrow, Wednesday, I'm going to be on CT Style here in the Tri-State area. I'm on CT Style. We're actually going to be talking burgers with my good friends over at Schweid & Sons. They're sending me some awesome ground beef. We're going to do the anti-holiday food leftover show. So I'm going to be showing how to make burgers inside. Listen, I know it's not rocket science, but you'd be surprised how many people don't know how to do that. So, it's going to be awesome. Looking forward to that tremendously. And tonight's show, how could you not be looking forward to this? We're going to talk to my man, Chef David from Polyscience. I'm not sure what his exact title is. I think it's culinary support is what it says in the emails. But one of my favorite tools with Polyscience, and I can't wait to tell David the story, we won't get into it here, is the smoke gun, or they call it the smoking gun. It's that, looks like a pistol grip, has a long rubber tube, and a little spot where you can put like the, it looks like a crazy like battery-operated bowl for weed, to be honest with you. But you put your wood chips in, you light it, you turn on the motor, and it blows smoke out the tube. You guys seen this thing? Yeah? Yeah, people are saying, yeah. This thing is phenomenal. And when I was on the Taste on BBC, it's my first experience seeing the smoking gun. So I can't wait to tell Chef David that story. It was quite interesting because I was trying to build a fire on a soundstage to cook my chicken on because I wanted to cook over a wood-burning grill. Yeah, didn't get that approved ahead of time. Lesson learned right there. So also, too, they are, of course, the innovators of sous vide. You guys sous vide, you know, you vacuum seal your food. You're going to then pop it in a water bath at a very controlled temperature, and the sous vide machine ensures that temperature and ensures the water circulating around it. It's a really cool way to cook. It's a very time-consuming way, but boy, does it impart a lot of flavor. And I tell you what, I'm not a big filet mignon fan. I think it's the worst cut of meat you can get. It's the most non-flavored piece of meat you can get. But when you season it up nicely and put some herbs in there and you throw it in that sous vide machine, man, let me tell you what, it comes out and it is just unbelievable. It takes a piece of meat that is not very flavorful, and it makes it unfreaking believable. So hopefully we'll get some insight into doing sous vide cooking and what works well for Chef Dave, and he'll tell us all about his stuff. He's out in Chicago, too, so his time's a little bit different. But Chicago, one of my favorite places. But it's going to be fun to have him on. So also, you guys, you're going to hit a spot, but I want you to know that holiday time is coming around. My good friends at Ergo Chef have given us an awesome promo code. And they've got some fantastic deals going on today. I think they go till midnight. If you haven't checked them out, ErgoChef.com, go in there. Any of the deals they have, you can stack my promo code PLUM15OFF. That's PLUM, P-L-U-M, 15 off. You can stack that code with their deals and get an amazing deal on some pretty awesome handmade knives for some even better people. Big fan of those guys over there. I just ordered a bunch of stuff from them, actually. Some Christmas presents and some holiday shopping is what I did. A little bit of holiday shopping from our friends over there at Ergo Chef. So, yeah, that's what's going on with me. I just poured myself. I got two beers poured currently because once we start interviewing Chef David, I won't be able to get up and get another one. So I got two beers poured. One's a big one. One's a little one. Hopefully they'll last throughout the interview. If you hear a bunch of ruckus in the background, it's because I had to get up to pour a brand new beer. So let's get through this. We'll play a couple spots here, and we'll come right back with my man Chef Dave from PolyScience. You check it out. Plum Love Foods Live, the number one food talk show on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you guys in just 1 second. Hang tight. Oh, that's right, guys. My knife is smarter than yours. That's right, smarter. I'm talking Ergo Chef knives. The unique patented shape makes it more of an extension of your hand. The curved handle of an Ergo Chef knives allows for smoother cutting and less fatigue in your hand. Listen, I use these knives every day, and they are fantastic. They're my go-to knives. If I use a normal knife, like a regular chef knife anymore, my hands start to hurt and feel achy. Trust me, guys, I'm not making this up. These knives are the jam. Check them out at ErgoChef.com. That's ErgoChef.com. And tell them Chef Plum sent you by using the promo code PLUM15OFF and get 15% off your purchase. Mike and Scott are great dudes over there, so check them out at ErgoChef.com. ProPlayerInsiders.com brings a unique behind-the-scenes look at the lives and lifestyles of the players of the National Football League with news, analysis, interviews, coverage of community events, and featured contributions from current and former NFL players and their families. Hey, and let's not forget chefs like myself are also on there. Be sure to bookmark ProPlayerInsiders.com and also find them on Facebook and on the Twitter at Player Insiders. Pro Player Insiders, the true voice of the players.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
Welcome back, everybody. Coming back here live at Plum Love Foods Live. Right here on Blog Talk Radio. And you know, it's funny because I had one of my really good friends I did an event with out in Napa, Chef Alex Talbot from Ideas of Food, told me that I would one day succumb to doing sous vide. And it's absolutely happened. And I can't wait to learn more about it. Can't think of a better song to bring in my guest right now, Chef David from PolyScience. Brother, what's going on, man? How are you?
Not much, sir. Just pouring myself a beverage here.
Ah, and, very important.
Yeah, the all-important. I love beer. I heart beer. And it's been a long day. So happy to be here and have a beverage with you.
Absolutely, man. I just finished one myself, and my tap is about 3 feet away. So if you hear some ruckus in the background, because I'm trying to stretch the computer cord out to get to the tap so I can pour myself another beer, sir.
Right on.
It's funny, man. I saw you on Instagram. I saw how much I'm not Instagram up on Twitter. I know you're a big beer fan, and I am too. Unfortunately, the problem is that I'm 6'3", 250 pounds. Much of a beer fan, I need to tone it back a little bit. Is there anything PolyScience is doing to make beer have less calories?
I wish, dude. I wish. I drink way too many calories. I think the only thing that we can do is just make beer better. I can't say we'll make it less caloric, but I can tell you we've got some ideas on making it better.
Dude, now I'm a giant fan. I'm all in. So it's funny, man, because I was telling the story a second ago. I have been in my entire culinary career, not that the show's about me, but just to kind of get the interview started with you, like the most. I'm so into just, you know, the very, very simple way of doing food, the very, very simplistic approach to food. I live in farm country, and it's never been my thing. And I was fortunate enough to go, I got asked by Frito-Lay to go on this chef's event out in Napa, where I met and hung out and became pretty close friends with Chef Alex Talbot, who I think you guys know, right?
Yeah, we're friends with Alex. He's awesome,
yeah.
Dude.
Great dude, man. Great dude. Incredibly terrible jokes, but great guy. it's really not good. Their jokes are just not good. But he told me that one day I would succumb to working with sous vide because I was so afraid of, you know, cooking with plastic and heating plastic up. But I tell you what, man, you guys have got it perfected, and it's almost like a home term now for people, man. How does that feel, especially you working there?
It's pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of weird at times. Like, it's totally weird at times, as a matter of fact. Like, the amount of people that are starting to cook sous vide is fantastic. There's a lot of players coming onto the scene as far as other people making sous vide equipment. Whether or not they'll ever surpass, you know, what we've been able to do, who knows. Wish them the best of luck. But it's pretty cool that we've become, like, a household name. And just the technique is it's interesting. You brought up something, and I guess we'll just start going with it. But like,
yeah, dude,
you had mentioned like you cook very simple, right? So like people like when I started at Polyscience, I kind of was coming at it from like, oh, Grant Achatz and Wiley, and like, you know, there's foams and powders galore, and just like, you know, this
yeah,
whole
yeah.
like crazy, you know, whatever. That's what I thought. That's how I was approaching it, and that was how I was cooking back at that point. So I've been with Polyscience for 3 years, I think it is, maybe going on four. And that's where I was. And then they were like, no, that's not what we do. Philip, the owner of Polyscience, he's not into that. We're very much more simple. And I'm like, well, it's sous vide. And like, sous vide's crazy. Like, it's got to be cool. What are you talking about? And like, what I learned is like, you can use sous vide as a tool to take very, very simple, very innocent foods and do amazing things with them. Like, I don't really cook with luxury ingredients. Usually, like when I'm going to do demos in places or when I do like pop-up stuff or whatever, I'm usually cooking carrots, polenta, like chicken. Like, I cook normal food, you know, because you can take really like humble ingredients and just make them like so true to what they are. And like people who say like, oh, sous vide is, you know, it's a bastardization of, you know, this or that. And it's like, I'm serving you, I'm cooking a carrot in like, I juiced these beautiful carrots and I'm cooking them in their juice and that's it. And then I make this beautiful puree for you out of just that, and it's going to taste amazing because I haven't lost anything to an excessively high heat environment. I haven't lost volatile aromas or flavors to the air because everything's contained in the bag. Like, I'm treating this ingredient like it's gold. Like, I'm treating a carrot like it is like my firstborn. Like,
yeah.
There's no like way to, I think, better be honest with food than cooking sous vide. I'll say that.
Well, dude, I tell you, you're completely right, and that's the direction that I was going to go in with this, was I never thought that I would be that guy. You know, I was just the opposite, dude. I was like, you know, fuck that. I'm not doing a bunch of foams and all that shit. I don't need all that stuff. I need a good knife,
mm-hmm.
and I can make a great meal. And then, lo and behold, I find myself now, just like you said, using these awesome, humble ingredients, you know, even just super tough cuts of beef. And you know, I was saying in the intro how much I can't stand things like filet mignon. I would never eat a filet. It's gross. It's
yeah.
the most flavorless piece
yeah.
of shit you can ever have. However,
yeah.
when I sous vide it, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, no. Absolutely. I think, just the transformative power of denaturing proteins and converting collagen to gelatin over time. And I think it's super cool the amount of textures that you can produce. So, like, people always ask me, like, well, do I cook it for this many hours at this time, or do I cook it for many hours at this time and or at this temperature? And it's like, well, how do you want it? Because like,
mm-hmm.
you can take like, let's say short ribs, and you can cook them at 85 for, you know, like 4 hours, and you'll get like a braisy texture, like a traditional pot roasty braisy texture. Or
right.
you can cook them for 72 hours at, let's say, like 53 Celsius. And they're going to be, like, the most tender, juiceful, freaking flavorful steak you've ever had in your fucking life. Like, it's the range of textures that you can produce with this thing is endless.
72 hours. Now, how does that happen? So I want to ask you how you got involved with Polyscience, but how the fuck do you, like, say, all right, so now I'm going to put it in for 3 days? I'm going to let this cook for three
yeah.
days. and we'll see what the hell happens. Is that like what you do?
Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, is that what
Holy
I
shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So like we'll take, okay, so let's say short ribs. The way we treat short ribs is like, sometimes we brine, it depends. It just depends on like, cause you're 3 days out. I'm already in the weeds. I gotta get these things going. So like,
right.
It depends. Sometimes I'll brine them. Sometimes I'll brine them, overnight in a really light brine, like 1%. Or I'll cure them for like 8 hours in like a sugar salt mixture, mostly salt, and like some spices. So I'll do some sort of a pre-treatment of that variety. Then we pre-sear them. We do that for a couple of reasons. We pre-sear because when you start the Maillard reaction, heat is a catalyst for the reaction. So it usually only starts at high temperatures, and I forget what that temperature is, but it starts at very high temperatures. Like searing meat in a pan, it turns brown. But once you start it, you can keep it going at lower temperatures. So throughout those 3 days, if you've already started it, we can develop even further those brown flavors and aromas. So the problem with pre-searing is, or actually the other advantage before we go to that, the other advantage of pre-searing is, besides flavor and aroma, it pasteurizes the surface of the food. So when you're cooking at, like, we don't cook anything below 52. That's no, that's bad territory. Anything below 52 is like warm sushi.
Warm sushi. That's a new band you and I are forming, actually. It's called Warm Sushi, and our first EP will be out next month.
The Sous Vide Revolution.
There it is.
We don't do anything below 52. So let's say, like, we'll cook them at like 53 or something like that. We'll pre-sear them. When you're at these low temperatures, bacteria can thrive. They go crazy for this temperature. So like pre-searing it allows the surface of the meat. Usually when you're cooking sous vide, you're worried about surface bacteria. If you've mechanically tenderized or made it like a sausage or something where the surface has been introduced to the core of whatever it is that you're doing, then we would pasteurize it for a longer time. But when you pre-sear it, you instantly pasteurize the surface. So it makes it a lot safer to cook at these low temperatures for longer times. So that brings us, we do either a brine or a dry cure, rinse it off, bad dry, pre-sear it. Then we chill it down so that the core is at least below 5, because if it's not, you'll get boiling within the cell structure of the meat, and it'll just make it dry. It's basically like shooting bullet holes through the side of a wall and then trying to like fill the room with water. Like it's not gonna work. Like so under vacuum. Water will boil at very low temperatures. So if you ever stuff something in a cryovac bag and you see it bubbling, it's too warm. It's boiling. And all of the cell structure, just like when you freeze something and thaw it, it's just like the texture is gone. Same thing is happening under
cell
vacuum.
Wall broke.
Exactly. So we chill it down and then we cryovac it and then we cook it for like 3 days. And then if we want to bring the bells and whistles out, like we'll bring the liquid nitrogen and cryo fry it, which is fun, or we'll just grill them or whatever afterwards. But yeah, that's how you make a 3-day short rib.
Okay. So I've got like 9 questions right now. Like you just said a whole lot of information there, and that was insane. It's awesome. Cause I opened up this whole thing by saying that in my humble opinion, I believe food is more science than art. And I think once you understand the science of food, you then have carte blanche to make it pretty. But they have to understand the science of it, what tastes good, the balance of acids, you know, all that good stuff, which I'm sure, obviously, you know, because my food science knowledge apparently is nowhere near yours.
Here and there over time.
But, yeah, well, no doubt. And I'm downplaying myself. I'm not an idiot. I swear, chef, I'm not. But one of the things I want to harp on for a second here is you brought up something that I don't think enough people understand, and that's the Maillard reaction. And the difference between a Maillard reaction and actual caramelization. Can you touch on that for a second?
Caramelization has to do is, okay, and I'm going to screw this up, and I always
don't
do.
Don't worry about it. You have a microphone right now, therefore you're an expert. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, so when you're caramelizing, it's strictly between it's a reaction that happens strictly between sugars. But when you're talking about the Maillard reaction, it has to do with amino acids, proteins,
yep,
and non-reducing sugars, whatever the hell that means. I read that in a book somewhere. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, it's a brownie. It's interesting. If you put sugar in a sous vide bag and you just let it sit there for days, nothing will happen. Caramelization it won't occur. Nothing happens to it. But when you put white chocolate into a sous vide bag and you let it sit there for however many hours, 12 hours beyond that, depending on your temperature, you'll caramelize the white chocolate, and that's not a caramelization. It's actually a Maillard reaction because the protein.
The protein in the white. Yeah. Holy
yeah,
cow.
Exactly. That's actually a Maillard reaction. So there's something fun to screw with.
Yeah, that's insane, man. So obviously you're a chef. You've been in the food business for a long time. What were you doing before you started working at Polyscience, and how in the world did Polyscience happen for you? What an awesome, cool job.
Actually, it was pretty happenstance. Like, it was like a total, like, I don't even know. So when I started cooking, I graduated high school in 04. So then I graduated
Holy
culinary
shit,
chef.
After
school.
All the stuff everything you just broke down. Now you're having trouble with math. What the fuck is that about?
Dude, it's all like a blur. Like, it's totally a blur. Let's see.
Where'd
2006,
you
go to school? Kendall College here in Chicago. I love that school. Anybody who's thinking about going to culinary school out there or whatever, if you're going to make that choice, which that's like a topic that's neither here nor there right now, but if you're going to go that route, I think Kendall was a really cool choice. So I went there, and then I worked at a restaurant called Butter that was open, and then I worked at a restaurant called Elate, and that Elate was really cool because that was a place where, like, I was pretty much like R&D, and that was like my job. It was just like figure out whatever. Like, it's your job to come up with ideas. We don't care if they work. Just feed us with ideas and whatever. So like one of the craziest things that I remember like trying to do, and this is like totally Frankenfood, and I don't know if it would have been a good idea, probably not. But I had this idea to take like prosciutto, because we had prosciutto on the menu.
Right.
And we had all these scraps. So what I wanted to do was run it through a meat grinder and then season it like a Spanish chorizo, and then Activa it and set it in a cylinder shape and make chorizo out of prosciutto.
It's what everybody doesn't know. Activa, that's almost meat glue, they would call it, which makes the proteins bind to each other, right?
Yeah, it's an enzyme that takes proteins and unravels them and then makes them kind of grab onto each other. So you could take like a piece of like cod and a piece of chicken and like glue them together, and you could have like fish chicken. I don't know if you'd want to, but you could.
Fish chicken. I want to do it to a live fish and a live chicken and see what happens.
Oh, well, actually, whatchamacallit? People
don't
will always like freak out about it. Thank God it only binds to necrotic flesh, which is why they use it actually to, like, if you ever, like, really lop off, like, a good section of your hand, like, that's what they use to, like, make it stick back together. But, like,
what
yeah, if you
fuck?
Touch it, yeah, yeah, that's what they use it for. But luckily, like, if you just, like, clap your hands together with it, you'll be fine.
Wow. I mean, listen, I mean, we were just learning all kinds of stuff here. We're learning how to put hands back together. This is fantastic. So you work
yeah,
at these restaurants.
Yeah, I know. We're right
on track. Yeah, right. You're doing the R&D thing. And then so is that after that is when you went to Polyscience, or how did that happen?
Well, so all right. So the next move from there was, like, I wanted to get out of the restaurant business because I was starting to burn out pretty good.
Yep.
I met a girl. You know how that goes. And, like,
yep.
Turns out, like, hey, I want to spend time with her. And, like, can you go to this family function or that family function? Well, no, because I'm working. Like, it's on a Saturday. Like, are you out of your mind? And, like, and so, like, turns out I wanted to, like, start going to those things. So I started cooking, and, like, I never, you know, just like pretty much everybody else out there, like, you're in that early 20s, late 20s, like that whole block right there is like, that's when you're working really hard. That's when you're like line cook to the 10th degree. Like you're in the shits every day. Like that's what I was living. And like, I don't know, I never missed birthdays or whatever because I never went. Like I just like skipped that part. But then like later, like once I met her, like I was like, I want to do those things. So I was like trying to figure out what I could do. And I started cooking at Sur La Table. I don't know if you have Sur La Table out, but you do. I think they're, it's like, so like I was.
It's like a William Sonoma type place, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they were, I was teaching cooking classes there, just getting by and whatever, trying to figure out what the next move was. And at that point, whatchamacallit, I was online. There's a Facebook post, and it just said, like, looking for people to join the Polyscience team. And I was like, well, what? Like, I will drop whatever it is. I'm going there. I was, like, Polyscience fanboy number one. And, like, I didn't care what it was. That's what I was going to do. So I applied, and I never heard anything. And then it was, like, literally, like, 6 months later, I got a call, like, out of the blue, and they're like, do you want to come for an interview? I'm like, I'll be there right now. Like, I'm on my way. And it was pretty cool. Like when I was on my way home from my first interview, they called me for my second interview. I was like, I can turn around. Like it's no problem. Like let's do this shit. And yeah, no, I started working there like the next week. So that's kind of how it happened.
They hung up the phone, Chef, and said, yeah, I don't know. That guy's a little creepy. He just wants to keep showing up here. I don't know.
Dude, when I walked in, so I'm in like the HR person office and I'm like geeking out because I'm like in nerds, like cook nerd central. And like, there's like rodent bats and like, so I'm like, I am just in heaven. And she has like a Polyscience coffee mug. And I'm like, do I ask her if I can have a coffee mug? Like, is that weird? I think that's weird. Maybe if I get the job, I'll ask for the coffee mug. And lo and behold, I got the coffee mug.
You did, but it's actually hers. You put it in your shirt when you left, and she didn't realize it. And you still, one of these days, you're trying to figure out how to give it back to her now that you work there. Is that the plan?
Well, now that you put it out there like that, thanks for busting me out, bro.
Ah, sorry, dude. Just blast you. I apologize. Hopefully she's not paying attention. So how is it?
I doubt she's listening.
What's the day-to-day, man? What do you do there? I mean, it sounds like an awesome job. Is it more like a... You know, like more like a 9-to-5. I don't mean it in that in a bad way, but more of like a regular kind of work hours type gig, kind of coming out of the restaurant business. Like that's a tough one to kind of switch over to.
You have no idea. Like the switch over was so weird. Like it was so weird because like we were talking about this before the show. I was like, can I cuss? Like, is it cool if I say fuck? Is it cool if I, you know, whatever? And like. Because that's just, like, that was, like, my regular speech pattern. Like, that's what four-letter words are better. And, like, that was it.
Cool.
When I was at Polyscience, like, there was definitely, we'll call it an adjustment period. And, like talking to normal people. But then, like, I kind of started to fit in really quick because, like, chefs would call. And a lot of the people that were answering the phones were, like, they didn't cook or like they barely cooked and like they were just to help the customer and like they knew if a customer called with this problem, this is how you help them. But then like there were questions that chefs would call that no one could answer. And I was like, well, let's pass it to Dave. And then like, it just kind of snowballed that way. Like Dave's going to handle these things from now on. And then it kind of built up, but like day to day. So that was like 3-4 years ago. So like day to day now is kind of crazy. So we got Polyscience's culinary division was purchased 2 years ago at this point, coming up on 2 years, by Breville. And for those of you who aren't familiar, they make like espresso machines and like blenders and like food processors, like a KitchenAid, like that type of brand. And like they do home stuff. That's what they do. They don't have any commercial products yet. And so they purchased us about 2 years ago. So now the day to day has changed a bit. So they're based out of California. So it's pretty cool because I get to go to Los Angeles, which I absolutely love. Anybody who's lived in Los Angeles right now, you guys, I envy you. It's awesome out there.
Can we just stop real quick with that? Because I could not agree with you more. I want to take my family out there. I've done a lot of television and most of the stuff. You go out to LA to do it. And is it not just, it's a different world, isn't it?
It's so cool. It's just like, I feel like the pace that's out there is like so in tune with just like, with like the way I am. Like everything is slowed down. It's crazy how it moves. It life quickens as you move to the East Coast. Like in California, everything's like chill and just awesome. And then when you're in New York, it's like, just like now,
completely.
Yesterday, now. And it's, I just love it out there. It's totally zen. But yeah, so now day to day, I don't know. It depends on like every day is different. I knew you were going to ask me this question and I like try to have like something like prepared, but like I get this question all the time and like, it's pretty crazy because like it, so let's go through like a week. I'll give you an example of my week. So like last week, Monday suck. Monday's our email. Monday is like everybody hates us on Twitter. Everybody hates on Instagram because their circulator broke and like they dropped it in the bath or they dropped it down a flight of stairs or like something to that effect. And somehow it's my fault. So like I'm just like playing. I'm just like triage like everywhere. Like that's Monday. So like okay, chef, no, you dropped it, but it okay, we're gonna take care of you. Like that's Monday. Tuesday of last week, Tuesday was really cool last week. There were some guys that came from Spain. There's these awesome, awesome grills. Do you know what a Jasper grill is or no?
What's it called? Say it again?
A Jasper grill.
A Jasper grill. No, I've never seen a Jasper grill. This sounds like it's pretty
cool.
Dude,
these things are ridiculous. So these Jasper grills, these are these guys from Spain, and they're like the coolest people you could ever want to hang out with. And they make these grills that are like kind of like an oven that is run on charcoal. And these fuckers will burn for like 8 hours on like one batch of charcoal. And like they maintain temperature like nobody's business. They're a beast. And you can like sear in them in like a minute. Like they get crazy hot, like 400 Celsius. Like these things get ridiculously hot. And like they came because Philip, the owner of Polyscience, he got one for his house because his house is like,
sure, I would.
Cool, but like his house is like dope. Like he's got, it's just awesome, you know.
Why would
and
you have
so like,
house?
Exactly. Like he's got a Rotifap at home. Like that's not something that everybody has. but like, so he's got this awesome Jasper grill, and like, the owner from Spain was like flying out. And we did this cool promotional video on, like, sous vide and grilling and Jasper and Polyscience, whatever. Well, I've been getting into photography and videography and stuff, and I'll go ahead and take a moment to plug my side project, flavorbound.com. Me and my brother, we have a little side project where we cook through cookbooks, review them, hate on them, love them, and drink beer while we do it. And
okay.
I do the video and the editing for that. And so Philip was like, hey, could you do some stuff for Jasper and Polyscience? I was like, oh, I guess. So Tuesday I got to rent like all kinds of crazy awesome stuff that I have no business using, like boom poles and like audio recorders and really expensive cameras and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like I'm like running like TV production on Tuesday. Wednesday is like, hey, all this stuff has to happen. We are going to be on, I don't know if I can talk about that, but there's a show we're going to be on. So it's like trying to get these guys' orders out to them. And like,
right.
We've got a trade show coming up in January called Golden State of Cocktails in Los Angeles. If anybody out there is going to be in Los Angeles, I think it's like the 22nd through the 26th, you should absolutely go. Or send your front of house people, send your sommeliers, send whoever. Like, it is so awesome. It's like super forward thinking cocktail week.
Holy shit! I'm going to LA.
it's super freaking cool. And like, there's this guy. His name is Alex Day. If anybody's ever seen the book Death and Co., he's the author of that. It's super freaking talented mixologist, and he's going to be leading a class using our equipment and like talking about technology in bartending. And then we're going to be slinging drinks at our booth. We're going to be focused on infusion. So we're going to be doing stuff in the Rotovap, the Sonic Prep, cooking stuff sous vide. We're going to use a smoking gun for some stuff, just like any methods of infusion that you could think of. So we'll be pouring drinks there. So, like, Wednesday was like, okay, they need programming for that. So what the hell are we going to make? So I had, like, 10 cocktail books just sitting on my table and just, like, trying to go through them and brainstorm. So, like, it's, like, Instagram, Twitter is one day. Trade show planning, because I do all that, is, like, another day. And then, like, answering questions. We're a worldwide company. So, like, today, like, I had a question from a dude in Thailand that I'm sorry, I couldn't read it. Like, and, like, I spend 4 hours, like, trying to, like, go talk back and forth with this guy, like, what's actually happening. So, like, a lot of that. It's crazy. It's every day is different.
Man, this just sounds like the coolest job of all time, dude. Like, you hit the jackpot. This is like a lifelong job. Like, you're done. Like, this is what you're going to do the rest of your life.
We'll see. It's definitely shaved years off my life. But I think that's anything you do. And I think that's, like, people, there's a lot of people at work that, like, that don't quite get it. Like, I can't do any less than 110% because I was raised as a cook. Like, if you start it, you finish it. Like, you never do less than your best, or, like, you shouldn't even bother. Like, the drive, like, every day is just, like, so I put everything into it. Like, it's cool because, like, the things that I learned were, like, while I was cooking, you apply those no matter what you do. If you change jobs, if you decide you want to go sell cars for the rest of your life, there's, like, because you've been a cook, there's things that you are going to take with you and apply them across no matter what job you have.
You know, I want any young cooks, and we do have a lot of young culinarians. It's pretty cool, man. I got an actual message on Instagram a while back from a girl in Thailand, actually. And she's cleaning fish, and she's listening to the show, which is really, really cool. The show's on her phone. You can see the logo, and she's cleaning fish, checking it out in fucking Thailand, which is insane. I make dick jokes and drink beer. This is crazy. And she's listening to it. But, and she's a young cook. But, like, the idea, man, what Chef just said right there, man, is something that is I think everyone should rewind and listen to, because it is the God's honest truth with it. And, you know, I used to always say, man, even back when I was – I've been in this business for 20 years, brother, and people who – everybody in this world should have to work in a restaurant at some point, especially being a line cook. But I tell you, it gives you skills. It makes you humble. It makes you appreciate things so much more in life, and that's just – that's my opinion.
Oh, totally. I totally agree. And, like, just, like work ethic, like, it goes so far. And, like, I'll be, like, straight up, like, I am, like, one of the worst prep cooks in the world. I suck. I am so slow. And, like, but, like, I have, like, a work ethic like a beast, and I'm proud of it. Like, I will get shit done. It might take me a while, but, like, a little longer than this guy, but I'm gonna get it done. I'm gonna make sure it's fucking perfect. And, like, I apply that to, like, everything I do. And, like, that'll take you so far in life. Like, that'll just take you so far. Just, like, do your fucking best, and, like, no excuses. Just get it done and be the best. That's it.
That's it, man. And that's, you know, I had an interview earlier today, and we'll move on. But in the interview, one of the things I had said towards the end of it was, you know, one of the things I love about, you know, being a cook, being a chef, is that, you know, every single day I wake up and I try to figure out what I can do that day to make myself better. And making myself better may be learning something new, but also teaching something, and understanding that everybody you come in contact with in the kitchen can teach you something. So, and I think that's the truth.
Sure.
And whether chef, cook, dishwasher, anybody, they can teach you something. No doubt.
I think absolutely. And you can pick up stuff, and then there's, like, things that, like, because, you know, like, well, you know, there's a, like, joke about, like, how many cooks does it take to figure out how to do this, and it's, like, one to do it, and then two to tell you how they did it at their last job, and it's,
exactly.
like, there's... You hate on it, like, when you're thinking, man, this fucking sucks, man. I had to come in early today and whatever, and, like, you bitch about it. But then, like, when you leave, you're like, oh, man, we used to do it like this. And, like, you learned all these things. You didn't fucking realize it when it's happening, but you learned all these things. And, like, every experience, like, if you, like, really open up your fucking eyes and your ears and you shut your mouth, like, you'll absorb so much, and you'll take it with you, and you won't even know that you did. And, like, the most important thing, there's, like, well, not the most important thing, but one of the important things, like, don't let, just as, like, you should always be absorbing information, don't ever hesitate to, like, pass something on to somebody. Like, don't be a dick and be like, well, you should do it this way or whatever.
Right.
But, like,
right.
You know, don't ever, like, I mean, that's how cooking has evolved. Like, people pass shit on and people learn from other people. So always take the opportunity. if you see like someone fucking struggling, like help them out. Like always be like, if anybody ever asks me like, well, how do you do this? I'm like, I'll tell you anything you want to know. Like it's, the cooking shouldn't be a secret. Like always be open to teach people something.
Completely, man. You're so right. And the way you look at that and your outlook is awesome, dude. And it's completely admirable. And I envy that. And it's awesome. And very respectable, because you're right, man. I mean, I think we're coming to a turn, I think, in this culinary business to where, you know, I came up and I'm not sure. I mean, I'm 37. I've been doing this, 20 years or so at this point now. And it was a very, I don't want to say negative when I started, but, you know, people didn't strive to be cooks when I started. People, you know, were a broken band of pirates. It was a people,
right,
the Lost,
yeah,
Boys. It was, you know, everybody's got issues. Something was fucking wrong. Someone was a drug addict. And this is where we ended up. But here we are,
yep.
And this is what we have. And you would go through, and you go to battles with them every night, and that's what you would do. But it doesn't, you know, but now it's become, people are trying to do this thing, and people are trying to learn more. There's more science involved, and because of all the things like you guys are doing over at Polyscience, coming up with crazy shit like the anti-griddle. What the fuck is that? And I'm saying that like I'm being done. I've actually had the chance to play with one on a couple of Food Network shows. But how in the fuck does somebody come up with that?
So the anti-griddle, the anti-griddle is pretty cool.
Tell them what it is first. Tell everybody what it is in case they don't know. I'm sure everybody knows, but.
All right. So think of like, we always try to explain it like a pancake griddle. So like if you're going to griddle like eggs or pancakes or whatever, you're familiar with a plancha. It's basically like a really cold plancha. So just how you would use a plancha or a griddle to sear something very, very hot, you use the anti-griddle to freeze something, to sear it, but frozen. You would sear it frozen, basically. So it's a minus 40. That doesn't matter, Fahrenheit, Celsius. They match up around there. So it's minus 40, give or take. Surface, so it's really, really cold. So the idea
when you get to that really, really cold or that really, really hot, there's not really, as far as what it does, isn't that much of a difference, right?
What do you mean? As
like
to
the
like
food
the
itself. Into the food
so
itself,
like
what the surface of it.
So like the, all right. So let's say you were on like a screaming hot griddle, like, and you sear your steak and it's fucking brown. It is like, it looks amazing. You cut into it and it's blue. It's totally raw.
Yeah.
And the anti-griddle is so cold that like you put a liquid on it, the exterior is completely frozen solid, like a rock. The interior is still liquid. So we do things like, we'll serve like ice cream sandwiches, we call them. Like you will make like an ice cream base and like freeze it on one side, flip it, freeze it on the other. So it's hard on both sides, like a cookie, like an ice cream sandwich, but it's
all
ice
cream.
So, like, the anti-griddle was developed with Grant Achatz from Alinea. He was looking for something where he could freeze something very quickly in one direction so that he could have multiple textures throughout the entire bite. And he called up Philip, who is just a huge food nerd. And Philip had already been a little bit on the food scene with sous vide. He was kicking around with people like Wiley, Daniel Balloon, Matthias, Mergis, John George. He was in that circle, and then Grant called him up and was like, hey, I got this idea, could you help me? And then Philip was like, well, sure, like, you're in Chicago, I'm in Chicago, like, fuck it, let's meet up and see what happens. And it's funny, Philip always jokes, but he's serious. He's like, I always thought I would build two, one for Grant, one for me. And now, like, it's the main staple of our lineup. So we never thought it would take off, but people fucking love it. We won the Tasty Technology Award from Food Network for it. What are the awards? We won the Innovator Award at Star Chefs for it. I think Madrid Fusion, we won an award many years ago for it. But yeah, the anti-griddle, that's pretty much what it is, and it's pretty cool.
It's awesome, man, and I want to get one at some point. Hopefully you never know what might happen. Those things are just, it's badass. It's completely bad. I was on Cutthroat Kitchen recently, and I just kept throwing things on the anti-griddle to see what would happen. And they're like, you probably should miss what you're supposed to be doing. I'm like, no, look at this, this is awesome.
Well, like, I think it's pretty cool. Like, what you can do, there's, like, things. So it works really well with liquids and small amounts of them. It was really meant for, like, for canapes and stuff like that on a very specific station at Alinea. But, like, what I think is cool is that, like, if you're going to make, like, and, like, some pastry chef is totally going to call me out, like, no, you're fucking wrong. You just can't do that, blah, blah, blah. But I've always had this idea. Whatever, that happens. Like, I always had this idea, because you can, like, freeze really thin patterns of, like, chocolate and stuff on it. Like, if you put parchment on it, you can make, like, these really intricate designs and then, like, transfer them. So what I thought would be really cool is if you put, like, a tuile batter on there, and then you put a sponge cake, or, like, you're going to make, like, a sponge cake with a pattern in it, you freeze your tuile pattern on it, and then you can go straight on top of it with the sponge cake. You don't have to wait for it to harden, or I don't know. I just, like, think that would be a way to just, like, expedite, like, that whole process.
That's pretty cool, man. I mean, that whole – just the whole thing with the – it's like I try to explain it to my sous chef. It's a flat top that's really fucking cold.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it
That's the best way I could describe it to him. And so then, you know, one of my probably favorite thing that you guys have, and I use it for everything, man, for cocktails, for adding quick flavor to something. And I had never even knew it was a thing until this is a quick story for you. I want you to hear it. I was on a show called The Taste a couple of years ago, and I was on a soundstage, and I'm there cooking for Bourdain, for everybody on the show. I'm cooking food, and they're like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I was in a wood cooking stage, so I want to make a wood fire. Like I said, I'm a caveman, brother. I want to make a wood fire, grill my shit over a wood fire, because there's definitely a difference in flavor between, like, you know, a grill inside of a kitchen and a wood burning grill.
Right. Sure.
So, and I wanted that flavor from it. So here I am on the stage, this big sound stage in Los Angeles. I'm building a wood fire. I take a hotel pan. I've got a bunch of wood chips and, like, wood smoking chips and whatnot. I'm lighting them on fire. I've got some great with stacked up on, like, number 10 cans. And I'm building a grill, like the most bobo ghetto grill, because I only have an hour to do it. And I'm just building this grill. And I make this giant fire, and they flipped out and they lost their mind. And, like, you can't do that. And I'm like, well, that's bald. I really want that smoky flavor. And the food stylist in the show comes running over and hands me the smoking gun. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And yeah, and then what I ended up doing was using the electric grill, and I covered them up and hit the smoking gun. It ended up working, and it was delicious. But it became one of my things that I just couldn't believe that there was this thing that literally would blow smoke, flavored smoke, on a very clean, very awesome-smelling, tasting smoke on the stuff. And now it's one of my things I have. I use it all the time. I even make cocktails with it. It's delicious.
Sure. Oh, dude, we make smoke margaritas for demos and stuff. Like, oh yeah, smoke margaritas are fucking awesome.
Haven't done that yet. Not Bloody Marys. I haven't done that yet.
Oh, dude, smoke margaritas. They're awesome. I like them shaken. Just blow it into the, like, fill the cocktail shaker with it. It doesn't matter what smoke you choose, just whatever. I usually use whatever I have on hand, because I've got, like, 10,000 little jars everywhere. So, like, I'll grab whatever and just fill the thing with smoke, shake it up, and, like, it takes on the smoke flavor really, really quick. It's awesome for smoking purees. Like, we'll do, I'll take, like, carrot juice and carrots, whatever, cook them probably, like, 85 for, like, an hour or so. A touch of simple syrup, whatever, throw it in the blender, and then just fill it with smoke, turn on the blender, and just let it run with the smoke in there, turn it off, and then I'll fill it with smoke one more time and blend it in. And, dude, you get, like, awesome smoked carrot puree. Like, it takes, like, 2 seconds.
That's crazy, man. I'm definitely going to give that a go for sure. I love making – I have a dish I make for many clients, and for I've done a bunch of pop-up dinners and stuff where I do smashed roots, which is, you know, it's very simple. Like I said, I live in farm country, and I'm going to do the same thing you just said with carrots. I'll do it with my roots and my root puree, you know, turnips and shit like that. Sounds awesome. Going to give that a go, man. That is badass right there. I did use it the other week. I did a big takeover dinner of a restaurant down I'm in the New York area, so I was down in Greenwich and New Canaan, and I did a sweet meat dish where we ended up braising off a bunch of St. Louis-style ribs. Then I candied them, and then we pulled them out, and then I wrapped them all up and hit them with a smoke gun. And holy shit, dude. It's the most amazing thing ever.
You know, it's funny. Like, every time I use it, Like, I'm not gonna lie, it's always, like, I can't believe this fucking works this well. Like, every time I taste it, like, you know when you try shit and, like, you're like, oh, shit, I don't know if it's going to work or, like, I don't know if it's going to be that good. But and then, like, it works. Like,
yeah.
I get that feeling every single time I use it. Like, I can't believe it works as well as it does. And I've been using it now for I don't even know how long, because I had one before I started at Polyscience. So probably, like, 4 or 5 years I've had a smoking gun. And, like, every time I use it, I'm like, damn. This is really good.
Yeah.
I love that thing.
It's awesome when that shit works out, man. Well, dude, it's been really freaking awesome sitting here talking. I can't believe how fast this conversation has gone. Literally, like, I could sit here and talk to you for 2.5 more hours and just, I mean, talk more food shit. I mean, I feel like I can just absorb more shit from you, and it's just awesome. So I want to hit you with a couple of questions here before I get you on down the road.
Sure.
You're a food guy, man, and at what point in life did it hit you that, like, you know, food is a thing. Food isn't something. You've been cooking a long time. Food is, you know, something that is very powerful. It can be very emotional. It can be very intense. It's not just something we do just to sustain ourselves. It can be a very bonding moment. Have you had a dish or anything in particular that made that kind of click in your head?
Man, I don't know when, like, the moment was that it happened, but it was definitely like when I was growing up. Like, my mom, she passed away, and, like, when I was, like, eating her food, like leading, like, up to that, like, I was like, holy fuck, like, this bite makes me think of, like, all these memories that I have, and, like, holy fuck, how powerful that is. Like, that type of a moment had to be probably one of the turning points.
It's funny how powerful those things can be in your brain, isn't it? Like, they just don't go away.
Oh, there's, like, smells. Like, now I walk down the street and I smell like this, and it's like, holy shit, I ate that, like, 10 years ago at this restaurant. Like, or I had this, like, you know, smells, aromas, it's so evocative. I think that's one of the most powerful things about food.
No doubt, dude, no doubt. And so same thing, same question. You know, you're a beer guy. I'm a beer guy. I've been fortunate enough to judge a lot of beer competitions, and I'm a giant beer fan. When was it when all of a sudden beer became something? And listen, we all went through that phase where we drank beer just because we're drinking beer to get fucked up. But, you know, to me,
putting the largest hole in your head. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. So at what point did you realize, you know what, beer is fucking awesome? Like, when did that happen?
So actually, are you familiar with Three Floyds at all?
No.
All right. So Three Floyds is a big brewery, out here. I live in Chicago, and they're just over the border in Munster, Indiana, and I have a Three Floyds tattoo because that was the place that, like, they're right, so, like, 2 years ago, they won, like, best brewery in the world. They have this beer called Dark Lord, and they release it, like, one day a year, and, like, I've met people there from Australia, Germany on Dark Lord Day. Like, this festival's fucking huge. But, like, way before that, like, I went there with my friends, and the I know the beer. It was Lineman's Frambois. Have you ever had that?
I've had, yes. Yes, I have.
Okay, so, like, that beer, like, it's a raspberry beer. It's tart, whatever. They add juice to it. It's not an amazing lambic, but it's good. So, anyway, so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I don't like beer. Beer is gross. This is I'm, like, just turned 21, and my friend's like, let's go to this place called the Three Floyds. And I'm like, that sounds stupid. Let's go to, you know, what, Chili's or whatever the hell. And, like,
I want a Long Island.
So, like, exactly. So, like, he's like, no, we're going to go check this place out. So we're sitting on this couch, and, like, we ordered, like, some fries. And I'm like, I don't like beer. What should I get? And, like, I could only imagine, like, the waitress or whoever it was being like, ah, fuck one of these. And then, like, they gave me a Lineman's Frambois, and I tasted it, and I was like, oh my God. Cause this beer smells like fucking, like, you're in a field of raspberries. It tastes like so intense a raspberry. And, like, I just, like, that moment I was like, beer is something else. Oh my God. And then, like, while I was like, so then I just want to go to Three Floyds, like, every fucking night. And we did. And, like, I'm trying all these beer styles, everything they're making. I couldn't, like, if I had it once, I was on to the next one. Cause I just wanted to learn about beer. So Three Floyds has definitely a special place for me.
Wow, man, that's awesome. It's funny because that lambic you're talking about, man, it's not a great lambic, but if you never had that before, it blows your fucking mind, doesn't it?
Oh, totally.
I mean, if you think that beer is Coors Light and Miller Light, and all of a sudden you have that, you're like, what the fuck? It changes your life completely.
So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to pose this question to you. What are you sipping on right now?
Oh, dude, come on now.
You can lie.
No, I'm currently right now having a Montauk Summer Ale, believe it or not. I have a few of those left, and they are delicious, delicious beers. I was drinking on tap currently. I have Hofbräu Oktoberfest still, and I'm trying to kill the keg, but it's so much honey going on in it. That's what it tastes like, that I can only have a little bit. I can only drink, like, you know, one or two, like, 16 ounces, and I have to get something different because it's just too fucking strong. But it's, you know, I've actually, these days, you know, for the regular, random, everyday Joe beers, Heineken Light, man, they've changed the hops in it. They changed it and added Cascade hops to it, and it's completely changed the beer completely. If you haven't done it yet, give it a whirl. It's going to blow your mind. It's completely different.
I will check that out. I will check that out.
I swear to God, I sound like an asshole. I swear I'm not being an asshole. It's a really good. It completely changed. It's crazy.
I will pick one up and I will check it out. I'm not gonna lie.
Do it, and you're gonna drink it. You're like, you know what? That motherfucker was right. This is a different fucking beer. It's really easy to drink. Heineken Light, not Heineken.
All right, I will make a note of that.
Yeah, it's very important. So listen, I usually ask, like, you know, what's the best piece of advice you give to young culinarians coming up? But, man, I feel like the whole last half of the show has been very inspirational, and you telling your story and just talking about what's going on and how you came into it. But if you were going to give a one-sentence piece of advice to, you know, young culinarians coming up, or people who are young cooks, you've been there, I've been there, what would it be? What would it be the thing you would tell them?
Man, that's tough. Like, I don't know. I think it goes back to if I had to, like, man, I don't know. I guess I would say, like, you know, just make sure to, like, take it all in. Like, you learn so much shit and you don't even know it. Like, you learn, like, just, like, the first time that you grab the fucking hot pan with the wet towel, no one had to say anything because you know it hurt. And, like, you know, but, like, you learn from that. Like, just learn from fucking everything. Like, learn from everything you do. Just, like, be open to every fucking smell, everything everybody says, the way the guy, you know, where he puts his spoons, or how this guy, you know, his tweezers always go here, his spoons always go here. Look at how he does that. The asshole in the corner over here, his station looks like a fucking train wreck, and, like, he's throwing his towels on the ground, and, like, you know, like, just pay attention to everything around you, and, like, maybe you're going to be that guy. I hope not, but maybe you are, and, like, just, like, figure out who you are. It's going to take time, but, like, just have everything be a learning experience. Just learn from everything.
There it is, man. I don't think you could have said it any plainer for anybody else out there. Just learn from every moment you're there, because there's something to learn every single moment that you're there. So listen, the last question, and then I'm going to get you on down the road, dude, and I appreciate your time. We've gone longer than I told you we were going to go, but it's just been one of those conversations, man. You're just an easy guy to talk to. I can see why they love you over there. how would you – so for young cooks or young culinarians, even home cooks that are kind of getting into this stuff really big, and we're seeing a lot of that these days, what would you tell them? How would you explain to them that they should check out sous vide cooking? It's not intimidating. It's not a scary thing. How would you convince them of that? How would you tell them to do that?
That's a, you know, I struggle with that question every day, because, like, we're trying to, like, you know, make sous vide a home name, and I think we have, but, like, to someone who's never like stepped up to sous vide, who's never used it or whatever, it's really tough to be like, okay, well, you know, you need to cook at these temperatures that are far unconventional, because every, you know, they know 350, like 375, 400, this needs to be internal temperature of X. Like, there's temperature ranges that we're all familiar with, but cooking temperatures for sous vide are far lower than those. So, like, the language that you need to start learning, it's a little bit tough, but basically – what I try to tell people as, like, an icebreaker, or when they come at us with a question, is, like, well, what temperature do you want it cooked at? Or, like, what temperature do you want your food cooked to? How do you like it done? Do you like it medium? Do you like it mid-rare? Do you like it well done? Like, how do you like your food cooked? That's the temperature you cook it at. And, like, you're not cooking higher. You're not cooking under that temperature. How do you like it cooked? And that's the temperature we're going to set this thing to. And then from there, it's pretty simple. And then you just, you know, stick a thermometer in it and cook it till it's done.
Wow. I mean, you know, it makes it sound so simple when you put it that way to people. And, you know, you guys, you can get this stuff anywhere. I mean, this shit's available everywhere. You can get circulators on Amazon. You can get them at Williams-Sonoma. They're just, it's
right.
Not that hard to find, man. All this equipment, it's not hard to find, right?
No, no. You can find our stuff anywhere. You can find it at Williams-Sonoma. They have a chef discount. You can give us a call. You can buy directly from us. Just go to our website. You can buy on our website, on Amazon. I'm going to plug real quick our book, Immersed. We released it earlier this year. It's an awesome book for anybody looking to, even if you're a chef and you've been cooking for a long, long time, we put stuff in there that like will make you better at it. Whether you're unfamiliar with it or you've been cooking forever, you'll learn something from that book. Also available on Amazon Prime. Hooray, happened last week.
Dude, that is awesome. And listen, if you want to buy the stuff, because it is holiday season, on Amazon, make sure you go to plumlovefoods.com. Click the Amazon banner right there to get to it. It won't cost you anything extra, and it'll throw us a few shekels for giving you this show every Monday night. Bro, you've been... Seriously, I could talk to you forever, man, because I don't know how many beers I've pounded, but, like, I could continue to talk to you, to learn from you, and just it sounds awesome. Our paths are very, very similar. However, I'm not working with polyscience, but very similar paths, and it's an inspiration to talk to you, dude. Tell everybody where they can find you at and where they can find polyscience at.
Polyscience on Instagram and Twitter at polyscience, PolyScience. We have a Pinterest page. We never use it. But Instagram and Twitter, for sure, get at us. We check that all the time. Facebook, you can find us there. Me, make sure you check me out. Flavorbound on Twitter and Flavorbound Media on Instagram.
I'm going to follow you on that stuff right now, man. And I follow you guys as far as pie science goes, man. And, dude, seriously, I can't thank you enough, Chef, for coming on here, man. It's been a lot of fun talking to you, bro, and I appreciate your time this evening.
Right on, man. Hopefully we connect after this. Send me an email or something like that, and I'll be at you on the Twitter and all the socials and whatnot.
Oh, my man, no doubt. You definitely will hear from me. And, again, I appreciate it. We'll catch you on down the road.
All right, later, man.
There you go, dude. Take care. All right, folks, how about that for an interview, huh? That was some badass shit right there. Hold up, there's some music. There you go. Talking to my man, Chef Dave, from PolyScience, coming on here, breaking knowledge, talking about stuff. Where else are you going to get that information? Tell me, who else is going to bring PolyScience to put in your earbuds while you're working out, while you're in the kitchen, while you're closing your station? Who else is going to give you that? Nobody. Your boy is. Chef Plum, that's who's going to do it. That guy was awesome. A lot of fun to talk to, man. It's just awesome. That guy is fantastic. Let's get into a couple of plugs and get on down the road because we are running late tonight. Here we go right now. That's like the worst music ever to do plugs to, I think. Maybe we should change it up. Of course, if we're going to do plugs, we got to do plugs to my man, Calvin Harris, because that's what I'm getting down to right
now. I need a little space in my mind. I need that little hope I can't find. I need a little faith. Is that too much to ask?
Yeah, that's right. You've been checking out Plum Love Food Live, the number one food talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank my guest, Chef David from PolyScience, coming on here, breaking down sous vide, breaking down the smoking gun, talking about knowledge for everybody, giving some inspirational quotes. What an awesome guy, man. Looking forward to the future with that dude because he's got some crazy shit going on. Can't wait to maybe cook up with him down the road. You can follow me on them Twitters, at Chef_Plum, as well on Instagram, at Chef_Plum on Instagram. That's right, you guys. And don't forget to check out plumlovefoods.com. That's PlumLuvFoods.com. If you're looking to buy some Christmas presents and get that holiday shopping going, click on that Amazon banner on the website. It'll take you right to your regular Amazon. Won't charge you anything extra. And they'll throw us a couple of wooden nickels for cutting through there. It's a great way to help support the show. Also, another great way to help support this program. If you were looking for some great brand new knives from an awesome company with even better people, check out my guys at ErgoChef. ErgoChef.com, the knives I use every single day of the week. Use promo code PLUM15 off. They just signed an amazing deal with Michael Simon. Hopefully, Michael's coming up next, I think. Maybe not. We'll see. And Plum 15 off promo code gets you a nice discount. And they've got a lot of great specials, so check them out over there. Guys, what a great show, man. I really enjoyed it. Love talking to Chef Dave. And love hanging out with you guys. You guys are the ones who make this show so popular and get us on the map. And I can't thank you enough for it. I love doing it. I love sitting here on a Monday night and having a conversation with you and talking to great, super cool food people. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, it is the first True Cooks Radio episode of Season 3. So we will be here with my man, Chef Chad, breaking down all the new drops for the holiday, talking about things going on, breaking down the True Cooks house that happened out in L.A. We're going to talk all about that next week right here on this very program. And in the meantime, and in between time, folks, remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give the time that it deserves. And I will see you guys next Monday night down the road. Have a great night, guys.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.